understandably, people from the beginning of time have worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars. The idea of astrology, looking in the alignment of the stars that somehow tell us that we're going to have an important conversation today. These are things that people have done throughout history because of the importance of light. So what I'd like to do today, my time that I have here, is kind of take you through a brief survey of light in the scriptures and help to understand how we can use that as we celebrate the Christmas season. Sound good? Cool. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus, for the light coming into the darkness. God, I pray that as you speak through me, God, I pray that your light would be shining. And that we would leave changed because of your word, because of your light. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first light I would like to talk about, and if you're following along in your message notes, there's four lights. And if you're a Star Trek The Next Generation fan, there are four lights. So the first light I want to talk about is the light of God. Now this is a big one. It's throughout Scripture we see God referred to as light. It's the first thing he does in the entire existence of the universe is create light. And it's also how God chooses to show himself to people is often as light. You think of Moses in the burning bush. It's a source of light. You think of the people of Israel escaping Egypt at night. There was a pillar of fire, a source of light to lead them out of the darkness. And also we see in the Psalms that God takes light and wraps it around himself like a cloak so that when we see him, we see brilliance, we see majesty, we see pure brightness. And also in 1 John, we see that God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. It's pure. It's undiluted, this light that we see when God chooses to show himself to us. Also, we see light as God's revelation to us through his written and spoken word. We see in the Psalms that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows me where to go so that I know when I step here what's happening, and I know what steps here what's happening because your word is a light to my feet. And light is also used to refer to God's salvation. In the Old Testament, in the Psalms, God, you are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Out of Psalm 27. And again, from 1 John, that God is light, undiluted, pure light. That's powerful imagery, powerful language, because our God is powerful and his light is magnificent. And as a contrast to that, a sharp contrast to that, is the darkness that this world seems to be in, this almost infinite darkness. But from the beginning of time, God had a plan to bring light into this darkness. And so I want to read to you guys a Christmas story. It might not be the standard Christmas story you're used to hearing. It's from the Gospel of John. And this is how John chose to communicate the Christmas story. It's John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And this word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. That is an incredible story. But there's a lot less detail about the circumstances surrounding that Christmas night and a lot more big picture implications of what that birth means. And one of those things that I love, and if you know me, you know I really like words and wordplay and Scrabble and words with friends. But one of my favorite images is of the Word becoming flesh, this thing that was before time, putting on skin and walking around. And this Word, which is a light to our feet, this Word, which also is this light, became flesh. This idea that this light came to earth and put on skin and showed us how to be lights as well. And what happens when the light lives with us? He shows us how the world could be. When we look around and see darkness, Jesus came into that darkness and said, hey, look at how this world could be. And we see brokenness healed. We see friendships restored. We see redemption made possible for those who had given up hope. And we see intimacy with God, real intimacy, a daily reality, not just a periodic festival or something that was celebrated once a year, but true intimacy. And his light also reveals our darkness and our need, our great need for a light. But we had been living in darkness so long that we became afraid of the light. And we don't think that change is possible because the dark is too dark. And what can I do with one little light? We feel like this. If you guys can see that. This is probably the simplest type of light that one can make or find. It's just an LED and a watch battery. And sometimes we can feel that way. But even the greatest darkness cannot extinguish the faintest light. If all the lights were off and it was as dark as you could possibly be in the world, you'd still be able to see this. And that is the hope that we are longing for this season. Hope that through Jesus, the world can be made different. And we get a picture, a small taste of this, every 4 years or so about election time. I'm not trying to be political. Don't take this one way or another. Both parties do this all the time. But in America, half of the country puts one man on their shoulders as a new savior of America that will take care of all the problems left by the previous savior of America. And then two or three years later, they realize, wait, this guy can't do it either. And then they start looking for the next savior of America. And when they realize that they can't fix anything, all of a sudden their popularity starts to drop because they had these super high expectations. And I'm not blaming them. It's the people that put their hope on the elected officials. But Jesus is the only one who delivered on his promise. He lived in this hope. He taught this hope to his disciples, to us. We have it in his word. We see it throughout Scripture. He was killed for this hope, this change, this idea that the world can be different. And by this power of change, he was raised from the dead so that we might have that same power. And he was the only Savior and is the only Savior that this world needs. He didn't do it in the right way, according to everyone who was alive at the time. It wasn't expected. It was not understood. But he's the only one that delivered on his promise. And this is the light that cannot be overcome, that shines in the darkness and cannot overcome it. And so Jesus is the second light. We have the light of God and the light of Jesus. And it is this light that he has entrusted to us, to believers. If we believe in him, this light now lives within us. If you have your Bibles, if you could flip with me over to the right a little bit to Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 8 through 14. And Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" I want you to notice that when Paul uses this language, he doesn't say that we are like light or we are representing light. He says, "You are light in this world." And he uses a lot of contrast between light and darkness. In fact, he goes so far even to say that we were once darkness ourselves, but now you are light. When we were in darkness, we could not see the state that we were in. We could not see our need for light, our need for a Savior. And that is the state that most of the world remains in. And this should not bring up in us a sense of pride and judgment of, you know, "I'm so glad I can see, you know, too bad for them. Look at them fiddling around over there in the dark." This should evoke in us a sense of compassion for those who are stumbling in the darkness. Imagine with me, if you will, a room with no windows, no doors, no lights. And everyone, there are maybe 15 or 20 people in this room, and there's lots of obstacles in the way. Things like chairs and bear traps and ice cream, whatever can get in the way of you finding a safe path. And you're the only person that has the ability to see in the dark. You've got night vision or you're a bat. I don't know what it is, but you're the only one who can see in the dark. What would you be feeling watching these other people stumble around? Would you be glad that you could see and judge those who couldn't for tripping, or would you want to help them? There's an old proverb that says, "It is better to light a small candle than to curse the darkness." We live in a dark world. I mean, you shouldn't be surprised to see darkness everywhere you look. Excuse me. But we as children of light can use our energy in a couple of ways. One, we can be afraid of the dark and avoid any situation that has shadows or is not as bright as we are. And we see this happen a lot. We see even churches, believers do this, where they become the moral gatekeepers of America and start picketing whatever is causing corruption in this country. And there are things to stand up against. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be active citizens of our country, but it seems like any time there is something they don't agree with, they hate the other side and say that God hates that person. And this is the light that the world sees, and it's not that attractive. And we as children of light, we need to use our light, our energy, in a different way. We need to live as a light, and as we live as a light, the darkness is revealed. I want to tell you a story about my friend Steve, who some of you may have met, but I asked him if I could share the story, and he said, "Of course," with 3 exclamation points, so I think he's okay. But when we met, he was my boss, so I worked for him, and I worked a lot with him because it was a job that sometimes required us to work 12, 14-hour days together. And I had known about him, and I had heard of his reputation of being a party guy. He lived in an apartment that was once called the Den of Sin around town, and this is kind of what I knew about him. And as we started hanging out, or as we started working together, we started to become friends professionally, and he said, "Hey, why don't you come over and we can watch some basketball together." I was like, "I don't know if I want to go there," but I convinced myself that this is probably the right thing to do, and it's just basketball, right? Nothing weird's going to happen while we watch basketball, and nothing did, but we started watching basketball together, and specifically the Sacramento Kings. Go Kings. And one year we watched every game of the season together. And that's a lot of time spent with, you know, the same people. And as we started hanging out and as we started to know each other, I started noticing a change in his behavior. And we had talked about God and religion and spirituality, but it never really went anywhere. But as we spent time together, as we became friends, I noticed small changes in his behavior. Things like when he would let a swear word out, or he would, I don't know, do something wrong? I don't know. But he would apologize to me, just, oh, sorry, Peter. And it wasn't because I asked him to, it wasn't because I had confronted him about his coarse mouth. It was because he realized by just watching me be a part of his life that I didn't want to have a part of that. And so his behavior started changing. And it would have been really, really easy for me to avoid that situation altogether and go hang out with my Christian friends in the dorm and play guitar until 2 in the morning, which I did every night. I wasn't watching basketball. But I chose to use my light to go into a dark place and to shine. And he started to change. And the idea behind this is that a light in the light, it's not really useful. We need to be a light to the dark. A flashlight in the middle of the day looks silly. I mean, I have one here, but sorry if that hit your eye. We need to be a light to the dark. And that's not always easy. Sometimes it's really easy to shine with everything you have when things are going your way, but sometimes it can be really hard. The world has been in darkness so long that it's afraid of the light, and it will do everything it can to stop you from shining yours. And it's hard. In our relationship with Steve, I've been put in some really uncomfortable situations. Part of being friends with Steve meant spending time with his friends who maybe didn't have the same respect or the same ideas that Steve did. And there was some really, really awkward situations that I got put in where I was teased for believing in Jesus, or there's just gross stuff happening that I had to like walk downstairs and just chill outside for a while. But to me, the friendship with Steve and continuing to shine that light was worth it to keep going into that situation so that a small light, however small, would still be there. And now he's one of my closest friends. We've been in a band together for over 10 years. And I wouldn't trade that relationship for anything. But he, as he's been changing his behavior, I've noticed that he is looking for a light. He is looking with all he has for a light. And so the third light that I would like to talk about, the third light is the light of you. Or is the light of me that we have because of Jesus. Because light is attractive. If you were lost and it was really dark and you saw a light, even if it was a very small light, you would have hope. You would go towards that light. You would want to see what that light was about. And that is the potential power that the church has. When all of our lights are combining, we have the opportunity to do amazing things. Let me just give you a small example. I showed you this light before. This is an LED. This is one LED. And this is 9 LEDs. And I'm sorry that this is going in your eyes, but it's meant to prove a point. It's a lot more powerful. And the world is looking for a light. I'm going to read really quickly, probably one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And I've written 2 songs about it, which we've both sung here at one point. so don't be disappointed in me that I reuse my source material. This is from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears to you. Nations will come to your light, and kings will come to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on your hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. The world is looking for light. Isaiah is talking to Zion, the city of Zion, which is a collection of believers. And that's us. Nowadays, we are the light that the world is looking for. And Jesus is the source of that light. But here on earth, we are Jesus' body. We are that light. And we have the power to change the world. The church is the instrument that God uses for change on earth. We are his hands and feet. We are the ones that he will use to change the world. Even if we don't have it all together, he still will use us. And I don't understand that, but it's an encouragement that I can have that he won't give up on his church to fulfill the plans that he has for this world. And when you understand that you can change the world, you will never live the same way again. We need to be the light in our community because the world is looking for light. And they will try to find it wherever they can. Steve, he's looking for light. He's told me stories that he was coming out of Home Depot near his house. He lives in Livermore. He was coming out of Home Depot, and on the corner he saw a homeless woman with two kids sitting asking for change or work or whatever. And he went home, got his kids, made sandwiches, and took it to that family. Drove back to Home Depot and gave it to that family. And he told me this story, and it's like, are you sure you're not saved? I'm like, this is such an incredible response. This is something that Jesus would do. I was like, would I do that? And it really challenged me. And the question that it brought to my mind is, why isn't he looking to the church for that light? Why is he looking to himself for light? And to him and to a lot of the world, the church is a cold, dark building that's empty 6 days a week. But to God, the church is his people, and it is a light to the community. And so, like Paul said to the church of Ephesus, live as children of light. And that's the fourth light. It's the light of the church. And so we need to, as a church, as Edgewater, to be the light. Where there is hope, go there. Be a part of hope. Be agents of change. It doesn't necessarily matter if it's a Christian organization. If they're changing lives for the better, support that. Be a part of hope. Be a part of change. We need to be people that encourage hope, no matter where it comes from. And where there is darkness, go there. Bring your light. Expose the darkness for what it is. Not in a, you are dark, I am light, be more like me type of way. But as you live as a light around the darkness, they will begin to see the darkness that they're in and see the need for light. One of my favorite organizations, IJM, International Justice Mission, their goal is to expose the darkness of slavery that still exists today. Did you know that there are more men, women, and children bound by slavery today than any point in history, all over the world? And their light that they are shining is they are basically a legal exposer and rescuer of slaves. They go in with lawyers, they break people out of slavery, and they take the slave owners, the people doing these things, and they take them to court and send them to jail. And that is exposing light. And they spend a lot of their resources telling people what they do so that we as believers, we as people can know, hey, this is going on, we need to help stop that. And as darkness is exposed, change begins to happen. And we can do this individually. We can do this as people. And we can live our life as if you are a light, because you are. The world is watching you. And you can show them light, or you can show them darkness. And it can be hard, but I encourage you to find what you can do and do it well. That could be as simple as choosing not to swear around your friends or not to have a drink on Friday nights. But be faithful with what you have, and God will bless that. And most importantly, we need to rely on the one true light that is the source of all of our light to shine through us, and that people would see that and not us. And we can also do this as a church, as Edgewater, we can do this. A good question that I like to keep on my mind, thinking of kind of how I live my life, if Edgewater suddenly ceased to exist, if all of us never got together and everyone outside of Pittsburgh had no idea that we were here, would Pittsburgh and Antioch, would they notice? Would there be a void of hope that was once filled by us? Is that something that we are showing to the community, that we are an agent of light here in our community? And I like to think that, yes, we would be missed. There's a lot of stuff that we are doing as a church that is outstanding. I mean, with the growth groups having an opportunity to serve several times a year, I love that. I love what's happening. And I encourage you to do more of that. Also, there's opportunities with the Drive-By Christians. They go around Saturday mornings giving food and blankets and prayer to people who are living on the streets. And it's an amazing ministry that's going on. And also, tonight at 5 at Steeltown Coffee and Tea, there's a concert going on to benefit the Love a Child Missions in Bay Point. And Steve, my friend, who's looking for light, is the one that actually came up with the idea for this benefit concert because he wants light so badly. He's doing everything he can to make it happen. And so my encouragement is that we as believers, we let our light and God's light be the brightest light, and that we can show those looking for light that God is light and that we are the light of the world. And so my encouragement today, my plug, my thing to do is to be the light. It's the last thing on your sheets. Be the light. Serve often. Serve together. Make sure that this city, the city that you live in, wherever that is, make sure that they know without a doubt that it matters to you, that the city matters to you, and that its people matter to you. And as that light grows brighter, more and more people will come towards it because that's the nature of light. It is attractive. People want it. So be world changers. You can do it. I promise. If you're the light to one person and they're the light to one person, it doesn't take long before the world is illuminated. So start here where you are. Start now. Be the light and trust God, that his brilliance will shine in this world. Why don't you pray with me? God, thank you so much that through you, we are able to see the darkness around us. God, and it can break our hearts. It can seem overwhelming. But God, we know that through you, there is light. Through you, there is the power to expose the darkness. God, help us to live as lights in our community. Help the cities that we live in, the people we interact with, the people we work with, and care about. Help them to know that we shine your light. God, we are so privileged and we feel so blessed to be a part of your family. Thank you for your word and how it shines a light to us. God, you are amazing and we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.